Say, we're partway through the story of Joseph, and I know what you're saying to yourself. You're saying, let's get the dream fulfilled already. But there's more chapters of difficulty and adversity, but God's working through all those things. So let's pick up the story. I got to rewind the story just a little bit and start off with a running start in Genesis 39, verses 10 and following. And this is the scene where Potiphar's wife comes to Joseph. She's trying to seduce him, trying to make him compromise. And it says this, "And although she spoke to Joseph day after day, he would not consent to lie beside her or be with her. One day, however, when he went into the house to do his work, and while no one else was in the house, she caught hold of his garment, saying, 'Lie with me.' But he left his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside. When she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and had fled outside, she called out the members of her household and said to them, 'See, my husband has brought among us a Hebrew to insult us. He came in to me to lie with me, and I cried out in a loud voice. And when he heard me raise my voice and cry out, he left his garment beside me and fled outside.' Then she kept his garment by her until his master came home. And she told him the same story, saying, 'The Hebrew servant whom you brought among us came in to me to insult me. But as soon as I raised my voice and cried out, he left his garment beside me and fled outside.' When his master heard the words that his wife spoke to him, saying, 'This is the way your servant treated me,' he became enraged. And Joseph's master took him and put him into prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. He remained there in prison. But the Lord was with Joseph, and he showed him steadfast love. He gave him favor in the sight of the chief jailer. The chief jailer committed to Joseph's care all the prisoners who were in the prison. And whatever was done there, he was the one who did it. The chief jailer paid no heed to anything that was in Joseph's care, because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper." May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and minds this morning. Well, this morning I want to continue the series of Joseph, and I want to think about perseverance in following our dreams or pursuing dreams with perseverance. First, I want to get started with something a little humorous. I heard about this old country preacher, and he had a teenage son, and the son hadn't decided on a career yet, and some time had passed, and the son didn't seem to be too concerned about that, and so he decided he'd try something, and so he decided what he'd do is go up to the boy's room, and on the table there, he put three objects. And so he put a Bible, a silver dollar, and a bottle of whiskey. And he said, "Well, if he picks up the Bible, I know he's going to be a preacher, and that'd be a great thing. But if he picks up the silver dollar, I know he's going to be a businessman, and that's not too bad either. But if he picks up the whiskey, he's going to be a drunk, and I hope that doesn't happen." And so this preacher hid himself beside the door and lie hidden beside the door, and his son came in, and his son came into his bedroom, and he looked around, and he saw the table with the objects there, and so he picked up the Bible and put it under his arm, and he looked at the silver dollar, and he picked that up and put it in his pocket, and then he saw the bottle of whiskey, and he opened that up and took a big, long drink, and the preacher said to himself, "Wow, Lord have mercy, the boy's going to be a politician." You know, it's election time, so I thought I'd just, you know, have a sense of humor about that. But anyway, we last week talked about temptation. I guess it relates to that. Temptation in our lives, and how sometimes when we follow our dreams, there's some adversity there. Just as Joseph had a dream, and God wants us to dream great dreams and to pursue them. But as we do, sometimes we meet trial and temptation. We meet adversity and challenge, and so it is. And this morning, yet another chapter of adversity comes the way of Joseph. I think the first thing to think about is sometimes we have to trust God in the dark. We have to trust God in the dark. There's a moment when there's confusion and we don't know how God is working, and yet God is there with us, and God will lead us out after a time. And so you think about Joseph, and here he is. He's been sold into slavery by his own brothers. Can you imagine that? And then he takes this journey down to Egypt, and he's sold to Potiphar, who's a captain of the guard, and he works hard. He could have been negative. He could have just sort of went about his work and not really cared about it, but Joseph poured his life into his work, and Potiphar raised him up and put him in charge of things because of that. And then one day, I guess repeatedly, Potiphar's wife came to Joseph, and she tried to seduce him. She tried to make him compromise, and Joseph, with great integrity, decided not to walk but to run from temptation, and I think that's the way it is in our lives sometimes. Sometimes we think we just walk away from temptation, But the truth is we have to run sometimes. And so Joseph fled temptation, but she grabbed his coat and she had it there. And so she called the servants in, she lied about Joseph. And then when her husband came home, she lied to him as well and told him the same story, that Joseph had tried to compromise her. And so Potiphar was furious and had Joseph thrown in jail. Now, I just want to read again what it says there. Because Joseph could have had a negative attitude, but he had a positive attitude. And it says, and Joseph's master took him, put him into prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he remained there in prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love. He gave him favor in the sight of the chief jailer. Think of that. When you think about prison, a lot of times you don't think of God showing steadfast love in prison. And yet, that's what the scripture says. But it goes on to say, the chief jailer committed to Joseph's care all the prisoners who were in prison. Whatever was done there, he was the one who did it. The chief jailer paid no heed to anything that was in Joseph's care because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. We have to trust God in the dark. And the second thing is, I think sometimes we need to realize that prisons can be pathways to our dreams. I don't know, that sounds difficult, but it's true sometimes, and it's true in Joseph's life. And so Joseph was growing in responsibility, he was growing in integrity, he was growing in character in everything that he did, and realized something else in this darkest moment of Joseph's life, but he was put in prison, and it wasn't any ordinary prison at all. Notice that it was the Pharaoh's prison. It was a place where Pharaoh's special prisoners went, so he could keep an eye on them, and so Joseph was in no ordinary prison, and that began to be important later in this chapter in life and in his career. And Joseph did his work with great responsibility and care and integrity. You know, sometimes we think, well, you know, we're doing something and it's in a corner of nowhere and it's not important. But the truth is that lots of times those things are important. I heard Colin Powell once say that all work is honorable. And he was relating how he had some menial tasks in life, but he put his everything that he had into it. We did it with integrity and he became a great general and the chief of staff. And you think about that. And it's the truth. All work is honorable. And sometimes when we're in the middle of nowhere and we're thinking this is just a menial task, realize that whatever we do, if we do it as unto the Lord, that it's important. And you don't know that moment of work might build to something great and even the fulfillment of our dreams. And so it was with Joseph. And then one day something unusual happened. Two prisoners were added to the prison. And I want to read this scripture verse because it's in Genesis chapter 40, verses 1. And I really can't tell the story better than the book of Genesis tells it. And one was the chief cupbearer to the Pharaoh, and the other was the chief baker. And this is what it says in Genesis chapter 40, verse 1. Sometime after this, the cupbearer of the king of Egypt and his baker offended their lord, the king of Egypt. Pharaoh was angry with his two officers, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker, and he put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard in the prison where Joseph was confined. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he waited on them, and they continued for some time in custody. One night they both had a dream, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt, and were confined in the prison, each in his own dream, and each dream with its own meaning. When Joseph came to them in the morning, he saw that they were troubled. So he asked Pharaoh's officers, who were in his custody in his master's house, "Why are your faces downcast today?" And they said to him, "We've had dreams, and there's no one to interpret them." And Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God?" A moment of witness. Do not interpretations belong to God? Please tell them to me. And so the chief cupbearer told his dream to Joseph. And he said to him, "In my dream, there was a vine before me, and on the vine there were three branches. As soon as it budded, its blossoms came out, and the clusters ripened into grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand. I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup and placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand." Then Joseph said to him, "This is its interpretation. The three branches are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to office, and you shall place Pharaoh's cup in his hand, just as you used to do when you were his cupbearer. But remember me when it is well with you. Please do me the kindness to make mention to Pharaoh and to get me out of this place. For in fact, I was sold out of the land of the Hebrews, and I have done nothing that they should have put me in this dungeon." Pretty amazing dream there, an interpretation. And This chief cupbearer has this dream, and Joseph says the meaning is you're going to, in 3 days, you're going to be restored to position as a chief cupbearer. Now, the chief cupbearer had a tremendous place of importance. The chief cupbearer was the person, and because Pharaoh was so prominent, they were worried about someone poisoning him. So every time the Pharaoh had a glass of wine or something else to drink, the cupbearer would have to take a little sip from that glass and make sure it was okay. The Pharaoh knew it was okay because if the cupbearer was still alive, presumably it was okay. So it was a tough job, a lot of pressure on that job, but right next to Pharaoh and all of his important moments of life. And so the chief baker hears this positive interpretation to his dream and thinks, okay, I'm going to share my dream with Joseph, and hopefully there's a positive interpretation there. And so we pick up the reading in verse 16. It says this: when the chief baker saw that the interpretation was favorable, he said to Joseph, I also had a dream, and there were 3 cake baskets on my head. And in the uppermost basket, there were all sorts of baked goods for Pharaoh. But the birds were eating out of the basket on my head. And Joseph answered, this is the interpretation. The 3 baskets are also 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head from you and hang you on a pole, and the birds will eat your flesh from you. Not a good interpretation for the baker. And so it goes on and says this: and on the 3rd day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, he made a feast for all of his servants and lifted up the head of the chief cupbearer and the head of the chief baker among his servants. He restored the chief cupbearer to his cupbearing, and he placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. But the chief baker he hanged, just as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet the cupbearer did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. You know, there's a lot of momentum to that story, and all of a sudden, just that verse there, the chief cupbearer did not remember Joseph. And think about that. Now, Joseph has had all kinds of bad things happen to him. His brothers are jealous of him, and his brothers sell him into slavery. He's sold into Potiphar's house, and Potiphar's wife lies about him. He's thrown into a dungeon. We don't know how many years that Joseph was in prison, but presumably quite a number of years. And then this opportunity comes with 2 people. He interprets their dream, and one is to be restored to the rightful place, and the other is to be killed and executed. And so Joseph thinks in this moment, every day he must be thinking in that dungeon, every night as he's looking up the stars, he has to think, when will the cupbearer remember me? Instead, he languishes in prison. And he could have been negative about that, but Joseph wasn't. He was positive. And Joseph is one of the few people in all the Bible that it's never recorded one time that Joseph was either negative or that he did anything wrong. And that's pretty amazing. The only other person was obviously Jesus. And Joseph is a kind of type and prefigurement of the Christ. And so Joseph doesn't become negative. And I think the lesson for us in all this is that we have to persevere in pursuing our dreams. And I know that's not easy to hear, because a lot of times we have our dreams, and they're great dreams, and they're going to honor God, and they're going to use our gifts and talents. We think it's got to be an easy pathway to fulfill our dreams. But the Bible speaks the truth and shows examples of people like Joseph and others that the road to dreams is difficult. And it was the same with King David. He had to go through all kinds of things. And so in our life, I think that if we're pursuing great dreams, we don't need to expect it's going to be an easy pathway. And sometimes great things happen, but we have to go through trial, and we have to go through temptation. We have to have perseverance in pursuing them. Jesus said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. But that word seek is to keep on seeking and you will find. And the word to knock and it will be open to you means to keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. And so this morning, I think the encouragement to us is to do exactly that. In Hebrews, it says this: therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. That word in there that's used for race is the Greek word agon. That's the word we get agony from. And you think about that for a moment, is that when you have a great race, particularly like a marathon race or something, where there's a tremendous amount of agony involved in that race, and you need tremendous perseverance, and the victor's crown is worth a lot, but it takes overcoming that agony. And then the writer of Hebrews goes on to say, listen, look at Jesus. Jesus went through all the agony of the cross and the crucifixion and gave his life that we can know new life and fulfillment, and was raised to the right hand of the Father to accomplish salvation, to give us hope of eternal life. And in the same way, we might not be called to that same measure of endurance and difficulty, but if we look to Jesus as the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith, the one who has gone before, the one who sustains us and gives us grace each and every day, then we can have the strength through God's Holy Spirit to endure whatever God has put before us, that we could attain the dreams that will fulfill our life and will give honor to God and serve others. And so this morning, think about that. And think about these words from Paul, who wrote these words from prison. He said, "I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." And he wrote that in prison about pressing on. And then Paul in Romans seems to allude to the fact that he knows that because of those difficult experiences that God is molding and shaping our character. And it says this, "And not only that, but we also boast," this is in Romans chapter 5, verse 3 and 4, by the way. "And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings or tribulation, knowing that suffering," or tribulation is actually the better translation, "produces endurance. And endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit." But you think about it, endurance produces character. And I think people have been through adversity and difficulty. Sometimes you look at them, and when you're going through a difficult chapter in your life, who do you look to but people who've gone through difficulty and adversity, because they got the strength of character, and you know they've seen it through, and they've won the prize, and they've endured through suffering and difficulty. And then it says that they have hope, and because I think the hope shines through them, then people are naturally drawn to that kind of light of the hope. And if we're going to be people like that, which I think we want to be, to share our love and share encouragement with others, then we have to endure too. Sometimes too, it's the truth that God works in prison and other places of adversity, difficulty, and in strange ways. I heard this story that Joel Osteen shared one time about this mother that was in his congregation, and her son was in prison, and she prayed night and day that her son would not only get out of prison, but even more important, that he would come to know the Lord. And years went by, and her heart was still broken every day, and then one day she brought her son to church with her, and she said, "There's my son, and he's not only out of prison, but he's given his heart to the Lord." And he said, "Well, I want to know something more about that." I said, "Yeah, I got a great story." He said, "You know, one morning in prison, it was Sunday morning, and we were fighting over the remote because there's only one TV in the prison there, and everybody wanted to watch their own channel." And he said, "We were just fighting, all this ruckus was going on, and all of a sudden this big African-American man comes through the door, and he says, 'Give me that remote.' He said, 'We're going to watch what I want to watch.' And with that, he turned on Joel Osteen. And so this young man said, 'I'm not going to watch some TV evangelist.' And so he got up to leave. And this big gentleman grabbed him by the shoulder and said, 'Not only am I going to watch it, you're going to watch it with me.' And so he sat him down next to him. And he said, 'We watched that show.' And he said, 'I ended up giving my heart and life to Christ.'" And you know, sometimes you might have a witness in prison or wherever it is. And you might be the person who's there. And God is going to work a chapter of grace and miracle and love in a place that you would never think it would happen. And that's what was happening in Joseph's life. And so today we probably don't face anything like that. But know this, that sometimes when brothers and sisters in Christ, or even people who don't know Christ, are in a difficult place, know that God could be working in a way that you never imagined in their life right then. And when you and I face difficulty and adversity, know this, that God is building our character, that God is leading us through that and developing our perseverance and endurance, and that hope shines through our life. It says this in Jeremiah 29, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord." You think about Joseph and chapters as you face adversity and realize that God is often moving in our life, and we have to have perseverance. Dr. Seuss' first children's book, and I think I saw it on Mulberry Street, was rejected by 27 publishers. But the 28th one published it, and it sold 9 million copies. Alex Haley, the great writer of Roots, got a rejection letter once a week for 4 years for his book, Roots. After 9 years on a project, he felt so inadequate that he was in the middle of Pacific Ocean on a liner, and he just thought he was going to take his own life and jump overboard. And he says he felt somehow the ancestors speaking to his heart and tugging them, and that this was something that needed to be written. And so with that, he went and he finished the project in 9 months that had taken so long. John Bunyan wrote Pilgrim's Progress from a prison. Sir Walter Raleigh wrote The History of the World during a 13-year imprisonment. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. wrote incredible letters from a Birmingham jail that inspire us today. Martin Luther translated the Bible when confined to a castle in Wartburg. Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote some of the best letters that inspire us today from a prison in World War II, and the Apostle Paul wrote about half the New Testament from a prison. You don't know that what is a chapter of adversity and difficulty in your life that seems to have no end, that God is shaping you in a powerful way, and that your legacy of faith will be shown in a better way because God's light shines best in the darkest night. So today, if you're facing some adversity and difficulty, know that God can see you through this. And God wants us to dream great dreams. God wants us to use our gifts and talents for Him, but know that we'll face trial and adversity and temptation, and know that there may be times where we feel like we're in a prison, and maybe it's not a literal prison, or maybe it is, but if it isn't, sometimes we just feel imprisoned by the obstacles and adversities that are around us. Know that God can work through us if we just have perseverance and believe in Him. Would you join me in prayer? Gracious God, this morning we think about the dreams that we have. And sometimes we become discouraged because we think that the dreams that we have are not the dreams that You would have for us. And yet we know that if we're using our gifts and talents for You and we're trying to bless others and serve You, that You would be honored if we'd fulfill those dreams for You. But we know that on the pathway to our dreams, we'll face trials and temptations, adversity and difficulty, and we need to have perseverance in all these things. But we know, too, that we don't have to do it alone. That our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, walks beside us and has gone before us. And so this day, lift us with Your Spirit, encourage us, strengthen us, help us to be men and women of character and integrity. Help us have a heart like the Apostle Paul that persevered through all the greatest difficulty and yet shone light down through the ages. We pray this through the power and glory of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.